2 Kings chapter number 13. Verse 20 and 21. When you find it, say amen. We still got time for preaching, don't we? Who'll give me 10 minutes? Anybody else wave your hand, give me 10? There's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. We're 50, 60. I've got an hour and 20 minutes to preach tonight. Appreciate that. 2 Kings chapter number 13, 20 and 21. It said, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year, a new year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man in the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Acts chapter number 3:19. You find it, say amen. Some of y'all are good at this, finding that Bible scripture real fast. We used to have Bible sword drills in children's church. I remember, I loved that. You'd hold your Bible up and they'd ask you where it was and you'd have to find it first. I wasn't so good at it, but I enjoyed it. Acts 3:19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's all my reading. Dear Lord, I ask God tonight, God, you'd bless this word, bless our ears to be able to hear your word. God, we thank you for hearing all that you've done. God, we're excited about what you're doing. God, we know you've got great things and great plans for us in this new year. God, help us to be able to hear your word tonight and apply it to our life. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. When I was in school, I remember, as I already said, I was in school. Now, when I was in school, we had a health class. And in health class, there was a thing we had to do in health class in order to pass that class. I really did not care much for. And it was learning CPR on a dummy mannequin. And me and the other boys thought, man, this is foolish. This is crazy. We sat there and we laughed and laughed and we thought, I ain't doing it. We kept on saying, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to learn that. In order to pass the class, we had to learn that. So finally I got it kind of away from them and I said, okay, I'll learn how to do this. So went through it and I learned CPR, learned how to perform CPR. And if somebody had a fainting spell or something wrong, I was able. Then I've not updated it. I know a lot of new things have come since them years. But I knew then how to perform CPR and resuscitation. And that's what I'll preach on tonight, on resuscitation. And that word resuscitate means to revive, to bring back alive, to restore to consciousness, to revitalize, or to raise up. And here we find in 2 Kings here, Elijah, the Bible talked about Elijah and he had his comrade Elisha. Elijah had 7 notable miracles in his life. And his 7 notable miracles, Elisha, his comrade, said he wanted a double portion of Elisha's spirit. And when they buried Elisha, there was only 13 miracles in his life, notable miracles. But we find here even after he died, the 13 there, we find as they were burying a man, they threw him in Elisha's sepulcher. And when he landed on Elisha's bones, this man revived. So that means 14 miracles. He got a double portion of what he asked for. Ask and you shall find. Seek and knock and it shall be given. Here, this resuscitation, and I know James Hacker would probably know a whole lot more about it than I would, but to resuscitate, to bring back alive, this, could you imagine them throwing this man in the grave of Elisha And as soon as they threw him in, he revived and came back alive. And here it says that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And here we are in a new year. God is looking to revive us. God's looking to resuscitate us as a church. And not that we're dead and not that we're on life support, but we're at a point in this junction of time that God's looking for a church that's alive, that he can put his spirit in to drive. We can rise to the occasion for such an hour as this that we've come to the kingdom of God. We've come here that God could put something in us and put life in us so much that the world can see and they would want what we have. They'd see us as a lively bunch, a lively stones, a spiritual house. I remember one time, and I can't remember the whole story. Some of you probably know or remember it. But I remember in church here, and it may have been just the story I heard, but brother, there's a man passed away in our church during the service. Brother Middleton, I believe was his name. Was that right? And he passed away over here next to you, Vadeth, and around these pews. Was this about in the right place over here? And he fell out dead. No life at all. The nurses, I believe Cheryl Martin was one of them, and Jeannie Huff was one of them. They checked for signs of life, but found none. And I believe the church gathered around, and they prayed for him. And as they prayed for him, he, after a while, came back alive. Is that true? Did that happen here? I believe so. And see, God, in some churches today, if something like it was to happen, in some churches, if a man died in church, the paramedics would come and they'd carry out half the congregation before they got to the right one. You believe that? I believe that. I heard one preacher say that, and I kind of believe sometimes that's... But we ought not be like that. Look over your neighbor and say, I'm not dead. And Aaron, and he got a neighbor, just say, I'm not dead. And I'm not dead. I'm not spiritually dead, but God wants to revive something inside my heart. He wants to revive a prayer life. He wants to revive a word life that I'll be able to read his word. He wants to stoke some things and that it might live on, that it might not die. Don't let it die inside your heart, but stir up the word of God. Timothy, stir up the spirit that God's given you. Stir up that you might live, that it might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. We're not just a church, but we're a lively church. We're a church that he gave his life for, and he put life inside of us. And this resuscitation, and to bring back alive, to stir to activity. I mean, there's work to be done. There's labor to be done. And there's fields. There's a field, and it's white and ready unto harvest, but the labors are few. He said, say not that there are 4 months, but look under the fields. And there's work to be done. For 2019, it's untellings. It's untellings what God's got in store for us. But as he's got these things for us, he's looking for a people that he can put his spirit in. The people that he can draw close enough that he could talk to them. And Sister Solomia, that they would be obedient enough to say, if you'll put that person in my path, I'll talk to them. If you'll lead me to that person, I'll do what you say and I'll be obedient. That's the providence of God, what she was testifying about, how that God led you to them people and how that God had put them people on your heart and on your mind. And a few days later, you ran into them people. God, providentially, God done that on purpose. For you and for them, that their need might be met. CPR means a cardiac pulmonary resuscitation. And there's sometimes when a man passes away, he's laying there in cardiac arrest. They have to massage his heart in order for his heart to beat again. And there's been times spiritually I felt dead inside. And I felt God trying to massage my heart in order that I might have a heartbeat after God, in order that I might have a life that pleases him. And you say, you're always alive. No, I'm not always alive. You don't always see me. There's times that God has to shake me. There's sometimes that God has to deal with me. There's times that God wakes me up and tells me what I ought to do. There's times during prayer that he chastises me and tells me, you've got to do more. You must work. You must labor. You must not grow tired. You must not lay. You must not allow it to die inside your heart. You must revitalize it. You must restore back to consciousness. Resuscitation. In Acts 2 and 3 and 19, he said, and the scripture said there, it said, times of refreshing shall come. Shall come. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It's not an if, but it's when. And I believe God's still got a spirit that he puts in. I believe God's going to pour his spirit out in these last days. In the last days, said God, he said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men dream dreams. Old men see visions. I believe with all my heart God's got a last day revival for his church. A last day awakening. A last day that we might be alarmed to realize there's a work to be done. And I can't sit back idle. I can't sit back and dormant. But I must press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I must push myself aside that I might live for him and die to myself. That I might live a holy life, that I might live a life that's pleasing in his sight, that my desires, my own ambitions must decrease, that he must increase. How about you? He must live. If he's not Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart, he's not Lord at all. The times of refreshment. That refresh means to gain energy, renewal, revival, replenish. And the Bible says, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Quicken means to bring alive. I mean, he's spiritually putting the paddles upon our heart this year. And he's trying to revive us to a point that we could work, that we might be laborers in the field, that we might put our hand to the plow and not look back. I mean, he's got the paddles and he's shocking us. There's things it's going to shock you. It's going to shock me, the things that God's got in store for us. And we'll stand back and we'll wonder, I didn't realize God had all this for us. You mean God's going to bring so-and-so in? God's going to say, God's done some shocking for me lately. I went over at my neighbor's house the other day and I seen him. He'd made it home, and it's the man that he's a drug addict. And he's a meth head. And he's the one that the saw blade flew off and cut him almost in half. And he's laying up there and he's about dead. James Hacker could tell you. He come and picked him up. But they took him to Lexington and they pronounced him. He said he died on the table. But he told me the other day, he said, when I went up there, and I said, Donnie, I was just making sure that was you. I said, I didn't know who was here. He said, yeah. He said, I just made it back home. But he shocked me by what he said. He said, I'm going to go to church with you. I said, what? He said, I'm going to go to church with you when I get feeling a little bit better. He said, a couple of days, he said, I've got a testimony. He said, God's done something for me, and I'll let him tell it when he comes. He said, but it shocked me to realize, to be able to hear him say, I'm going to go to church with you. It shocked me. And it shouldn't have shocked me, but it shocked me. I mean, I went up there in Lexington, and I went to his hospital room, and I was going to pray with him there, but I never got to meet him, so I never got to see him there. He was downstairs, he was doing tests. And so I told the nurse, I said, have you got a pencil and a piece of paper? And she said, yeah, I can let you use this. So I wrote him a note and told him I was praying for him, and told him that we'd be praying for him, that if I could help him anyway, let me know, and I left my number. And it wasn't long after that he called. But I'd like to see God do great things. God's going to save some people that you didn't think was going to get saved. God's going to reach down in the gutter and pull some out of. God's going to save some drug addicts. God's going to save some people that you thought you'd marked off. There's no way. God's going to do that. God's going to shock the church. And it's a shock that would wake us up and realize we must be about the Father's business. We must realize it's high time we'd wake out of sleep and slumber and realize that this is the hour and this is the day. It won't be long now. The church is going to leave this world. He's coming in power. We'll herald that blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. When he comes, will he find faith upon the earth? When he comes, what will we be doing? I want to be alive. I don't want to be on life support where I'm in and out of church or where I'm serving God one day and the next day I'm not. But I want to be fully on fire for God. I want to be fully persuaded in this matter. I want to be resuscitated. I want my eyes open. I want my hands working. I want my feet headed toward that city. I want my heart. The one man said, he was entering a race, and he said, as he was in that race, he won the race. They said, how in the world did you win that race that you was in? He said, everybody else was so much quicker than you. And he said, I grabbed my heart physically. Not physically, but I grabbed my heart spiritually. He said, I took my heart, and he said, I threw it across the finish line. And he said, I went after my heart. And if we're going to make it, we're going to have to go after our heart. Run with all your heart. Whatsoever you do, do with all your heart. Whatsoever you do, do heartily. Work, labor, put it all in. No, there's no real revival without prayer. We need prophets in the pulpit. You believe that? We don't need a puppet, and we ain't got a puppet. We need prophets, men of God that will direct us. Not everything that's going to be said from the pulpit is going to be positive. You hear me? Not everything. If it's all positive, we'd be happy-go-lucky. But there's things that God speaks to you and I that's not positive, it's negative, in order for us to be on track, in order for us to be where we need to be. Ezekiel had a valley of dry bones he came to, and he said, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And he asked a question, and God said, thou knowest. He said, thou knowest whether they can or not. And he spoke to him. He said, spoke to the four winds, breathe on these slain. And we know the story as the breath of God breathed. I got ahead of us. As Sinu came upon the body. And they laid there dead still yet. Just a dead corpse. And just a dead army. No movement. It was an army with no life. It was an army, a valley full of soldiers. Dead soldiers. Dead soldiers can't protect nothing. Dead soldiers don't scare anybody. Dead soldiers, they can't stand up and they can't defend nothing. But God continued the work and breathed on them. And then when the breath breathed upon them, the Bible says they stood up an exceedingly great and mighty army. We are an exceedingly great and mighty army. Like a mighty army, the church is. We're an army marching through the land. Deliverance is our song, healing in our hand. Everlasting joy, kindness in their heart. In this army, I'm glad I've got a part. Are you glad you got a part in this army? Are you glad that you're a soldier for... We sing it so, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I want to be a soldier that can work and labor, that's resuscitated. And when I see my brother down, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick him up. I'm not going to walk by him and wag my head, some poor old pitiful so-and-so. I'm not going to be like the Levite and the priest. They went on the other side. They walked away and they avoided that one. They didn't want to help him. But the Good Samaritan came by and picked him up, set him on his own beast. He poured in the oil and he poured in the wine. And he took him down the road and took him to the inn. And he said, here, take care of him. Said, and make sure he's well. And if I owe you anything more, said, I'll repay you when I come back. That's resuscitation. Don't leave them laying there. Don't walk off and leave them in the valley. But help them. Help resuscitate them. Help pick them up. Help bring them in. The song said, as we was a kid, everywhere he went, talking about Jesus, he was doing good. He's a mighty healer. He cleansed a leopard. When the crippled saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. I'm glad to know that God can resuscitate. I'm glad to know that God can bring, when you're close to death, spiritually, he can bring you back alive. All he has to do is speak the word. He revived the church in this hour, 2019. God's wanting to do great things. God has great plans. God has great and marvelous works to be performed in your life and my life. But He's looking for a people He could use this hour, this day. It's a brand new year. Brand new year God's given us. I look back over the years, God's been good to me. God's been mighty good to me. I can count the song we used to sing, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. I could fill books and pages of what God's done for me. And you can do the same also. But it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. God's got much, much more from where these blessings come from. It ain't over yet for the church. God's wanting to resuscitate us to a point that we can have more than, not just on a Wednesday night where we're not here, we're just 30 or 40, but where the church is flowing, where people are coming in and people are getting help, people are getting healed, people are getting saved, people are getting delivered. God still does these things. He's wanting to resuscitate us. I had an old car. And it was a little family car. I didn't have much in it. It was one, I think, when we first got together. I drove it up there several times. I bought it off of Mike Carpenter. But it had a problem. Most of my cars do. But this one had a problem. The problem was I'd drive it and it just die and quit. And I'd turn the key and there was no power. So after about 30 minutes or 40, I'd turn the key and it'd start back up. But it failed me so many times, I got tired of it. And I took it up to this garage uptown. There used to be a Shell there where the new courthouse is. And I took it there and I said, can you all figure out what's going on with this thing? What the problem is with this car? And they kept it for a couple of days. And finally he called me and said, Mr. Parker, I said, we've got your car fixed. I said, you do? I said, what was wrong with it? He said, you wouldn't believe it. I said, well, tell me. He said, there was a little wire loose. And he said, it was making contact. And then it wasn't making contact. It was making contact. It wasn't making contact. He said, we just tightened it down a little bit. And now it makes connection. And now it's gaining charge. And now it's resuscitated. Now it's, you can drive it where you want. You've been before where your car failed you. I brought in a little illustration. Always do. You said you'd give me a few minutes. No, I'm not going to hook you up. These are battery cables. What are these? Jessica, can you tell me what these are? Good job. I told you the answer. But these are battery cables. And these are to give you a boost when you need a boost. You ever needed a boost? You ever been in the parking lot and you turn the key and nothing go on? You look around and you ain't got no cables and you go ask somebody, say, sir, you ain't got no cables, do you? Could you give me a boost? And he said, well, I don't care to give you a boost. And he looks around, he finds his cables, and he digs out everything, finally finds cables, gives you a boost, and guess what? He starts your car, and you go on down the road. And that's what God does us sometimes. You ever needed a spiritual boost? Huh? You ever just, man, this is just another service. And you turn the key, just another service. But God wants to come by and give us a spiritual boost, where we can get on down the road a little bit farther than where we are right now. Do you know in the olden days, whenever they brought their sacrifice to God, they would tie it to an altar. And when they tie it to the altar, they'd leave it there at the altar. And that sacrifice was God's and it was given to God's. You know, a lot of times we bring our sacrifice and we get it connected to God and we get it connected to the altar. But somewhere along the way, it loses connection. Our sacrifice. And we lose connection. And we lose connection to the greatest thing. They've not been used. They ain't got no battery ass on it. Don't worry. Brand spanking new. $9.99 worth. Kroger special. Use my Kroger card. Probably got points. I don't know. But anyway, God God wants to give you a boost. And I'm not here to examine you and tell you that you're half full or half empty. I'm not here to tell you that you're fully charged or you're running on safe mode. That's the little safe mode where you're just not using all the battery. You're just trying to conserve a little bit. But tonight, God would like to revive us in such a way. He'd like to rejuvenate us in such a way. He'd like to resuscitate us to the point where, guess what? He'd like to help you so much that you could help somebody else. That when you get a charge, do you know what it does when you get a charge? It charges somebody else. When you get a blessing, guess what? The whole church gets a blessing. But if you get a blessing and you sit on that blessing, nobody else is getting it except you. But when God boosts you and God boosts the church in this hour, in 2019, when He boosts us up, we're going to step back and say, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the Lord is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. He picked me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He gave me revival. When I prayed, God answered my prayer. He boosted me. You say, that's simple? Yeah, it's simple. But what we need a spiritual boost in this 2019. We need extra power for this last day hour. We need supernatural Holy Ghost power in order to live right, in order to live in this next generation in 2019. You're going to have to get endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to get it flowing inside your heart. It's going to have to, like a river. You're going to have to let the river flow. It's got to flow out of you. Abundantly flow out of you. I still believe in speaking in tongues. I still believe being led out of church drunk in the Holy Ghost. I still believe that God baptizes and fills and calls and uses it. And then guess what? He's not through yet. An endowment. Are you tired of living on low power mode? Are you tired of having a little bit when God's got a lot? He's got a lot. And times of refreshing. Over and over and over, Brother Aaron. Times of refreshing shall come. From the presence of the Lord. I want an audience with God. The song says, shut in with God in a secret place. There beholding the power in His place. Oh, how long to be shut in with God. In that place where His presence can overflow my soul. I don't want more of the world. We don't need a new piano player. We don't need that. We don't need a new drum set. We don't need that. We don't need a new bass player. We got all that. We don't need new lights. We got all that. But what we need is an unction of the power of God. Fresh wind from heaven breathing upon us one more time. Breathe, oh fresh wind. Breathe upon these slain. Breathe upon your church in this last hour. In 2019, God wants to breathe upon the church. He wants the breath to breathe inside of you and I in such a form and fashion that He'd be glorified. Could somebody come, piano, please? Somebody come. Do you need a boost? You know, I've known people that was just too proud to get a boost. They've sit there, and they think, somebody will come and help me. I know they will. Somebody will come over and realize I'm sitting here, and it's 99 degrees, and I can't get my windows rolled down. Somebody will come and help me. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I'll just prop my hood up, and somebody will ask, what's wrong? You know what? I don't know, maybe it's just me. I've never been too proud to ask for help. If I was needing help, most of them, if I'm needing help, I'll come over and say, "Brother Merle, I need help. I've got an issue I need help with, and I think you could help me with it. Would you help me? But I've got to ask for it." But if I walked by Brother Merle and I had a need, and I never spoke to him, I mean, he's not going to get a divine word from Mars saying he needs help. I mean, I may have a sad countenance and may have a head drooped in. He could probably kind of tell then. But if I'm just like I always am, he ain't going to realize I need help. But tonight, somebody needs a boost. Somebody needs resuscitation. The church needs a resuscitation. I need a resuscitation. I need a CPR. I need a fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh unction, fresh desire. I want a fresh touch of desire in my soul today. I want a fresh hunger for His Word. I want a fresh hunger for His will. I want to walk with Him and talk with Him daily. I don't want nothing to grow in between me and Him. You know what? A lot of times when you need a boost, the reason you need a boost is because there's corrosion upon your battery cables. It's corroded over with all kinds of things. And we've let it go over and over and over. But if you clean them cables off every now and then, it'll get good connection. And sometimes you might not have to have a boost. Maybe you can help somebody else. But I want a good connection. Can somebody show me how I could touch Him? Can somebody show me where He's at? If I have to press through the crowd to touch Him, I'll do it. If I had to tear the roof off, if I had to go down 7 times, if I had the tree to even climb, I got to make connection this year more than I made last year. I said, I've got to make more connection this year, Brother Aaron, with God. Could we bow our head and close our eyes? I'm not here to hurt the church. I love the church. God gave Himself for the church. I love the church. I love First Pentecostal. I love God's family. But to me in my heart, I need a revival. I must have revival. I must have a resuscitation. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I give Him more of me. Anybody else want more? Anybody else want more? I want you to come around these altars if you want more. If you want to make a greater connection this year with God. If you don't want anything to hinder in between you and God, come on, let's come, church. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more Jesus than I ever had before.